up, Southwest, and welcome to our Game Informer. I'm your host, Calista Palarca, and I'm here today with
Grayson Levitt,
Aiden Randall,
and Derek Ortiz.
And let me tell you, I'm so psyched that we're back up for this year. I know you guys missed the seniors, but we have some interesting things to start off this year. And we're starting off during Halloween, so let's talk about some horror games. How should we get started?
Well, recently, I actually don't know how recent. I'm not an expert on this specific game, but I wanted to talk about the newest Amnesia game, I think it is, The Bunker. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I've seen so many video essays on The Bunker because it's just such a fascinating game because it's so good. And I really, the thing The Bunker does is it's set in World War I, which I think is a great, great, great setting for horror games in general. There is another horror game that I know of that I've heard of. Maybe I've watched a video or two in the past, but I really can't remember. That is also set in World War I, and it's about like someone in the trenches succumbing to disease. Okay. But again, Amnesia, The Bunker, set in World War I, it uses that setting and the monster to kind of convey its message. It's like anti-war message, which is, I think, really, really cool. And I just want to know if you guys have any other games like that that use fear or horror to actually, like, deliver their message.
Well, I know a few games that use horror, but, like, not to deliver a message, more like to enhance the experience. Like, the OG Slender and the... How many pages was it? Like,
I think it's 8.
The like, 8 page?
Yeah, the 8 pages. Pages. Like, that game isn't necessarily scary on its own, but the horror factor that they add into it makes it thrilling, and it adds replayability a lot of the time due to you having to find these 8 pages, and each time you want to, you know, find them faster and you want to get caught less. And I would say it is one of the games that does kind of like an anxiety thriller mood vibe. It gives like the best overall experience in terms of like horror, if we're looking at like plain basic horror.
Yeah, that's something I find really, really interesting is when like certain games have horror sections, and then there's another main game, and they use that to actually drive the story forward. There's a ranking of what is important, like substance wise for a horror game, and Control is like top 3. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very, very important because in a lot of horror games, I'm gonna list Resident Evil as an example because
yeah, that's what I was saying too.
In Resident Evil, you start out and throughout the game you upgrade weapons, and by like a certain point you're mowing down zombies, like you are confident, and then it just switches up on you. And a good horror game will give you all these resources and make you feel confident, and then it'll take them all away and make you feel utterly helpless. Like, that's true horror.
That's
like
what I was going to say. I feel like that goes along with what I was going to say next, a sense of unpredictability. Like, you can't really tell what's going to go on next. It's like, or like Resident Evil, like Grayson just added on. I feel like in a lot of games, they have random encounters that you wouldn't really expect, and that's also what can lead to the scare factor increasing or decreasing depending on like if you do it correctly, being afraid.
That's why like when it comes to like making a good horror game, especially with like the concepts of control and unpredictability, you could really go like both sides of the spectrum. Because like Resident Evil is survival horror. It gives you like I would say a lot of control with like the weapons and stuff that let you actually kill the monsters you're fighting, but still like be unpredictable enough where the horror element is still remains. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there are games that are very linear, where there's like not a lot of like gameplay, kind of, sometimes they're just walking simulators, but scary stuff can still happen.
Like Little Nightmares?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think something you guys haven't touched on, though, that is a major factor in horror games is the adrenaline rush. It doesn't matter what you're in, as long as your heart's pounding, you feel that fear like, oh, something's coming, something's coming. I think a really good example is how The Walking Dead made that 3D version on the Oculus.
Saints and Sinners, yeah, I know a lot about. I may go on a little bit of a tangent over here. The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners did horror really good. I have played both the first game and the new one that came out. And both have shown really, like, when you go up to a walker It's not like you just kill them and be done with it. There's like, since you actually have to move to attack them, there is a sense of anxiety, because if you miss, they're gonna grab you, but like physically grab you in the game. And a lot of these show up in hordes. So if you miss one and they grab onto you, by the time you free yourself from them, you're gonna have an entire horde on you. And there is a system in the game that does horror really well, and it's called the bell. They recommend you not stay past a specific time, because if the bell, you know, rings, hordes of zombies will come in constantly, left, right, and it's endless unless you leave. But once that happens, the loud noise of the banging just boom, 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 boom. The soundtrack starts getting faster as well as more intense, and you know that you have to, like, leave. Except every chance you get, walkers, left, right, left, right. It drives you, and it gives you that pump, that anxiety, that adrenaline that you need to move on. And I feel like that is one of the best examples I can give of something like that.
It definitely shows, like the whole adrenaline rush from playing horror games comes from tension. I'm not sure how we didn't mention it before, but tension is one of the biggest parts of horror.
Like,
and it's how you get the adrenaline rush in the first place.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of good things here. And specifically, the bell is such a great piece of game design. It's so fascinating to me. And I think what's really special about the bell is that there's always this impending anxiety that eventually the bell will ring, and if you're not out, your life is in danger. There's always the anxiety of this weird big monster just across the corner And what that game does is it gives you a flashlight, right? And the flashlight is great. But the thing is, it's a World War I soldier flashlight. And those things you held like in the palm of your hand and you had to wind them up. But this game is a system where if you make noise, the monster will come and get you. Mm-hmm. So it becomes this resource management of not how many materials do I have to make this thing? It becomes this resource management of like how much stress can I endure right now? And it's just so great how there's this like impending looming anxiety. Mm-hmm. Another game that did that very, very well was Alien Isolation. Mm-hmm. That game is like a staple of horror games because it's so fascinating. But a thing that the alien will do, this is a fun game design fact, is the alien from Alien Isolation has two sets of AI in it. One of them is a regular pathfinding AI that's just trying to find you, but the other one is an AI that knows where you are, and it starts feeding the first AI hints. So that'll mean maybe you're hiding an event and you see the alien. The second AI will tell the first AI, hey, he's an event. So it'll start actively looking for you instead of just, you know, wandering mm-hmm. around hoping it catches you.
Yeah.
And it's just so great how games, like, use this. They hold the knife over your head and they're like, hey, if you slip up once, this big monster is going to come and kill you. I love it so much.
That's super great. I think we're going to end it out there. I think we hit a lot of major topics. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, I'm Calista Pilarca.
And I'm Grayson Levitt.
I am Aiden Randall.
And I am Derek Ortiz.
Thank you so much.